Michigan and the world from his bunker below the bridge. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, while you're contemplating where that $21 trillion made off to, we're going to get back to our conversation about this tax bill. You know, how we continue to be creative and competitive as we move forward. My next guest, Dr. Richard Ebling, the BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise Leadership at the Citadel. Professor, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me back on, and if I may, Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you, my friend. We're not afraid to say it. Yeah, greatly appreciate you being here. Before we get into creativity and competition, the heart of capitalism, and a piece that you wrote here, I'd like to explore a little bit. Just your general feelings or opinions, if you will, about the tax plan that you, what you know about it, what you think about it, if it's a good thing going forward.
I think that it's a slightly mixed bag, but not for the usual way that some critics of the bill have been arguing. I think that as far as business is concerned, the rapid and significant reduction in the corporate tax rate, no longer punishing businesses that do business abroad to double tax them when they bring their money back to the United States, all of these should do wonders, taking the slightly long-run view of boosting savings, investment, capital formation, all of which will mean growth for the economy at a faster rate, more productivity, greater output, and certainly more jobs. The disappointing part, of course, was the degree to which taxes were not cut as dramatically or as significantly in just everyone's personal income tax. But where the left says, oh, you see, this is all skewed towards business because the Republicans hate the little guy. But the problem is that the reason why the tax cuts could not be larger and more across the board is because the politicians are unwilling to do something that is the heart of our long-run fiscal problem, and that is cutting spending. Tax spending needs to be cut for the social welfare redistributive programs that are sucking money into Washington, D.C. through the sieve of political corruption and manipulation to serve various special interest groups, and unfortunately on both sides of the political aisle in Congress.
Well, that creates an important question for me here. The United States in 2017 set an all-time record for tax collections in this country, $3.5 trillion, just a little bit north of that, I guess. But a tremendous amount of tax dollars brought in, and yet we still overspend. And it is mind-boggling, Professor, that we still overspend with all that money coming in. So now we're going to get this windfall. Very likely, because money's going to come back to America. Yes, the tax rate has gone down, but spending and activity and economic activity should be dramatically improved, and we should increase the amount of revenue brought into the Treasury once again. How do we set it up so we keep their dirty fingers off from the newfound money?
Well, the only way to do it is to somehow have a two-pronged strategy. One is to set up a rule that government spending does not increase at a faster rate than growth in the economy. That is, let's suppose gross domestic product, the measurement of growth in the economy, has increased by, let's say, 3% in 2018.
Right.
There should be a rule that government spending does not increase faster than that or preferably less than that. In fact, if government spending was increasing below the rate at which the economy is expanding, that would, over a period of years, automatically eliminate the deficits, and with surpluses further down the road, then give the government the money to pay down the debt. But of course, the problem is politicians like to run on promises of more and more goodies for their narrow constituent groups, but they need to form as coalitions to get elected against their opponents. And until a way can be found to restrain spending, this problem is going to keep dogging us, and we're going to be threatened eventually, and I'm not saying tomorrow or 2 years from now, eventually potentially having the same type of fiscal problems and disaster that we all pointed a finger at when we looked at the country of Greece in Europe just a few years ago.
Yeah, or Portugal or Spain or a host of other countries that are in financial difficulty now. But you say in this article you wrote that got my attention, creativity and competition are the heart of capitalism, and that's true. The problem being, though, if there's a constant drag by way of, you know, these taxes, these issues, then how do you ever allow economy to come to full speed, to full potential, if you've always got this drag of whatever the taxes and fees and problems are? You see my point?
Yes, exactly. Think of it as a foot race, in which people are going around the track, but they have weights attached to their legs. They may still be moving forward. Our economy has been growing, but the weights prevent the runners from developing their speed and abilities as much as they potentially could have if the weights were eliminated from their legs. And that's what these government regulations and government taxes are. They're like the weights on a runner's leg that prevent them from running as fast, devising ways to improve their running techniques on the track and so on. And that's the limit on competition and creativity that this spider's web of regulation and taxes imposes upon the American enterpriser.
So how do we, I don't know. It's going to take a miracle, I believe, Professor. But, you know, there's got to be some way to get there. How do we get there? I'll give you the last word.
The way to do it is to persuade our fellow citizens that the role of government is to protect liberty and not to redistribute wealth or be envious of those who are better than ourselves in the market race of improvement and competition. As long as envy, resentment, and the desire to have what others have, but without their consent through the process of taxation, this unfortunately will continue. Now, that sounds like a negative note at this holiday time, but the fact is that should be our New Year's resolution. That is, renewing our belief in freedom and questioning the overreach of government.
There you go. Well, thank you for that, Professor Dr. Richard Ebling, BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise at the Citadel. Merry Christmas, Doctor.
And Merry Christmas to you. Thank you.
There you have it. Speaking of Christmas, it's not too late to get into the contest to win a new $4,000 Wolverine water treatment system. Just go to stevegruber.com, click on the Wolverine button, put in a little bit of information. Do it now. You can be entered before that big drawing on December the 22nd. Coming up, maybe a $4,000 Wolverine water treatment system for you for Christmas. Wouldn't that be nice? You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.